Perfect. That's what I like to hear.
Awesome, yeah. But hi, you look very cozy.
I am very cozy. I have been taking some relaxation after probably the most stressful week of my entire life. Mm-hmm. Just kidding, not the most stressful, but like a very stressful week in general. But, you know, doing better now. I decided to not do that much work today at school. I mean, sorry, at co-op. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I told my boss, I was like, yo, like, I can't do this that well. Give me some time. I have a splitting headache. And she was like, cool. I mean, actually, no, he wasn't like any, she didn't say anything. She just sent me the invite for tomorrow. Cause I said, can we do it tomorrow? Not today.
Yeah.
So that's about it. I have no story here.
That is so cool that you told your boss, like, hey, this isn't going to work.
I think it was this guy named, it's like, my boss doesn't really care that much. He's like pretty chill with things. That being said, like, he's still like very, very, like, he's worked at the company for pretty much his entire life, I think. Cause like, he's been there for 14 years. I don't know how old the guy is, but like, he doesn't look that old. Mm-hmm. Like, I would put him in like the 33, 34 category.
So young.
So like, he probably started working there when he was like 20 something. Cause mm-hmm. he started as an intern. So I'm assuming he's not that old. And since he's been there for like a long time, he's pretty knowledgeable.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming that means he likes his work done well because he's very intelligent. So mm-hmm. sometimes I always have a mini heart attack whenever I text him because I'm like, I sound stupid in front of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
You look well, nervous of me.
No, it's cool. Like, you're, it's kind of crazy that we're in like in roles. We're in job roles. We're doing adult tasks.
I know. What did you do today at work? How was work today for you?
It was good. Oh, actually, no. It was so slow.
Oh, so I like how you defaulted to the immediate answer that everyone uses, which is it was good, which means I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, no, it was so slow. Like this mm-hmm. weekend, I was going. Actually, hold on. I fully forgot. I hit record, but I had like a, we were just talking, and I forgot. Do you mind if I do the intro super quick?
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
It's super. Thank you so much. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of The Real Ones. I'm your lovely host, David. I'm joined by the one and only, and for the second time, Mayuri Mohan.
Hi.
There we go.
Perfect. Okay. I guess let's get back on track then.
Yeah, just
a slow work day.
So this weekend, I was at Elizabeth's dance competition.
Yeah.
In Guelph. And it was awesome to see her dance. It was for her school team. It was amazing. But it was two full days of mm-hmm. just being in this, like I texted you, it was just in this one facility for like 12 to 15 hours. And it's just, it was so tiring. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't even dancing. But so that was yesterday and today, or Saturday and Sunday. And yesterday I came home at like 11:30, 11:45. And I had to wake up at 6:30.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, because you start work at 7 sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Elizabeth's dance competition, did you get to sit or did you have to stand?
No. when I was watching, I was able to sit.
Okay.
But so, it's literally like, I guess we got a little unlucky where her dances, they get spaced apart automatically, like, but whatever the venue.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So, her first dance was like 10:30 or whatever it was, and the second one was at 2. And then another one was at 5 and then 9.
So then did you just sit there watching everyone else's performances? Or did you kind of, like, did you get to dip and, like, you know, kind of get food or whatever?
Yeah. You just go in. Literally, you just go in. You watch whatever dances you want to watch. And then you get out. And then you go back in later.
Okay. Yeah. Look, I'd be really hurt if, like, people left when I was about to perform that, to be honest.
I know. Like, that's what I would think, too. But it's not even personal. It's crazy. Yeah, it's these dancers, they dance on stage. And the whole thing is you have to look at the judge or the judges the whole time. That's it, because
so intimidating. That's very intimidating.
Yeah, and it's like you have to, it's like tunnel vision to them. And so they're dancing in front of like 50, 60 people, 70 people, mm-hmm. just at these four judges. That's all they stare at.
You know what? I feel like staring at one person or like a couple of people like for a prolonged time gives like really weird, like offbeat sexual energy. Not like good sexual energy, but like really weird, like this shouldn't be happening, like this doesn't feel normal, like this is like neither of us are attracted to each other, but we're trying to emulate as if we are, and I don't like it kind of energy. I don't know. I feel like staring at people for too long is just weird.
I wonder why. I wonder if it's like a biological thing, or it's like if you stare at someone for too long, it's like a sign of aggression.
You know what it reminds me of? You know, like people stare at you on the TTC, like yeah, it's giving, like, a crackhead stare vibe.
I hate the TTC.
Me too. I actually hate. Did you hear about how the? I don't remember. I don't actually don't know if John Tory is still.
He's out.
President? No, mayor. Mayor. He's given. I know he like resigned officially, mm-hmm. or like he publicly said he resigned, but I don't know if he's actually resigned because I haven't heard about that yet. Mm-hmm. But I did hear that he said that the TTC would be reducing service so that it could focus on its budget or something. I forgot.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Budget cuts.
Yeah, with the budget cuts and everything, and like I don't know, like the path has been perfect for me to walk through to get to school. Like I actually review. Mm-hmm. Like there's no point. Like you can save money and you can like get a little bit of steps in. Like why would you?
Yeah.
And you could also get safe. You can be safe is what you can be.
Is the path safe?
Yes, very safe actually. Because like the only people that use the path are like okay, so the path is like directly connected to Union Station, but also all the rich stores and mm-hmm. all the major consulting firms and financial firms because it's directly on the Toronto District BIA. I don't mm-hmm. know what BIA stands for. I just know it's Financials District BIA.
Business. Yeah.
Business something. But
business something.
Anyways, the point is, right, like, everyone there is rich, or everyone using the path is getting to work. So, like, they're under the pretension of pretending to be rich, right?
Okay.
But, like, everyone is there to commute. Like, it's just there for people who are walking, going to work, right?
Right.
So, there's very, very few people who are, you know, like, unsafe per se, or like people mm-hmm. who aren't going there for the purpose of walking through the path. So it's relatively safe. It's usually pretty empty too, like on most days, even when like it's in the rush hour of the morning. Like mm-hmm. path is huge personally, I think, so like you don't have to worry about like it being crowded. And the couple of times that there are homeless people, they're very like docile and they just walk around. And there's yeah. also security in the path. Like you have to be like mindful about it, because like there's long stretches where there aren't security, but because of the fact that this path also is where it's like we're like it's the largest underground network of malls, or like the largest underground network of stores.
Okay.
So basically because of that, like there's security there just to make sure that, you know, like the stores there are not being robbed or stolen
right.
from.
Right.
And all that. So like occasionally you'll see security. So there's a combination of factors I think that make the path very safe.
Mm-hmm.
So I think everyone should use it. As long yeah. as you know where you're going, because otherwise you're going to get lost and it takes a lot of time. And if you're like on a time crunch, you probably shouldn't be using the path.
Yeah, I remember the first time I ever took the path, or maybe the second, because my friend showed me how to use it once. And I tried to emulate that like mm-hmm. 6 months later. I was going so strong and I had that like the map on my phone.
Oh, yeah.
And then there were maybe two points where I got lost and I got confused of where I was on the map. And I was trying to like use... what's it called? What are those things where it's like points of significance? Like if you're ever lost, you can look to find the CN Tower to orient yourself when you're on
like
the street.
Like landmarks?
Yeah, landmarks. So it was like Scotiabank. So I'm trying to find Scotiabank stuff. And I was going good. I was like 50% of the way to campus mm-hmm. and I got lost. I screwed.
I can show you how to get there from campus. Believe me, like usually from Union to TRSM, I think it's like a 25-minute walk if you're like a slow walker.
Mm-hmm.
With the path, it becomes like a 30-minute walk. Like it takes like if you're going at like a slowish, like medium, like normal pace, right? If you're going fast, you can clear it in about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But it is a little bit longer, but it is safe. Mm-hmm. It's reliable. The only really major issue is the path is that it, like the Hudson's Bay connecting like doors that get to like Union, like in order to get to like the path through Union, sorry, through Eaton, you have to go, like, through the Hudson's Bay, and the Hudson's Bay closes at fucking 8 p.m. or 7 p.m.
Oh, my God.
So, like, if you have, like, an evening class, you're screwed. Or, like, if you're ever out late in downtown, you're kind of screwed. You can't use the path.
Yeah.
But the weather's getting better. Actually, no, it's not. Like, it's snowing right now. Like, is it snowing where you are?
Yeah, it's, like, flurrying.
Yeah. Like, so the weather's not getting better yet. But mm-hmm. when it gets better, like, walking outside is not a big issue. It's just the Toronto smell. Like, every single time I go to Toronto... I have to wipe off, like I have to physically shower after. I don't know, I have to get rid of that Toronto smell.
It's the Toronto air.
Yes.
It's disgusting.
The air. Oh, you know, actually, you know what's even worse? I hate going to Toronto and having to walk around outside after snow, because Toronto has a bunch of, like, you know, like, ceilings, like roofs and stuff, but, like, they also have, like, the extending, protruding, like, windows and signs and, I don't know, like, stuff.
Yeah.
Right? But because of that, like, it's always dripping, and, like, that disgusting, like, when you get, like, that drip on you, it's so nasty. It's so gross. I can't stand it.
The most disgusting thing, and this is, I can smell it now, when you go from, I don't know if you take the GO train to Union at all.
Yes.
So, you know, going through that little, like, I don't even know what to call it, but it's like the space between the GO train station and the subway. It's like a little wall. And it's like an atrium kind of thing with the glass ceiling.
Yeah.
It smells like piss. It's vile. Yeah,
it's actually so nasty. Like, I don't know why. I don't know what it is. Like, it doesn't even have, like, sometimes when it's, like, late at night and it's, like, technically quote unquote clean, like, there's no, like, spills or anything, but it still smells like sewer.
It's a permanent stench.
I don't know. I feel like Union Station is not clean at all, but once you get into, like the bus terminal, the bus terminal's spotless.
It's beautiful. Nice.
I know. That bus terminal, I don't know what the fuck they're doing in, like, the train area, because there's always homeless people yelling and screaming.
Yeah.
But in the bus area, like, I'm safe. I'm happy.
I think it's just because it's easier for someone who's homeless just to stay on the subway for the whole day, because it just goes back and forth, back and forth.
Right, because, like, it's pretty much like they're, you know, it's like it's a safe place. It gives them safety. Gives them, like, something to sort of structure out where they need to be. Because, like, essentially, like, otherwise, like, it's really hard to do anything in Toronto, especially in the winter months, right? Like, it's cold. Like, you need a place to rest your feet and stuff and to sleep. And relatively speaking, the subway is a safe place if you need that.
Yeah.
Not safe, but, like, it's better than having to do it out in the cold and, you know, face all that. So, yeah, I empathize with that, and I can see why they prefer it to, like, the bus station, because in the bus station, eventually someone will tell you to get out.
Yeah.
But in the subway, there's no one that really does that, I don't think, at least when you're on the actual subway train itself.
Yeah. Honestly, the being downtown and going to TMU, it has made me so grateful to like, have what I have and have a home.
God, yeah.
Because it's crazy.
Yeah. No, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go on.
No, I lost my train of thought.
No, like, I get what you mean. Actually, like, the most humble I've ever been. Humbling experience, I would say. Do you remember when I told you about piano and, like, how I got my period and, like,
piano?
This in the group chat, so maybe you didn't see it, but essentially what happened was, like, I was supposed to go on a date with Hunter. We did go on the date. It was, like, supposed to be, like, this nice Valentine's Day date and everything. And I got my period and I forgot to take any sort of pills or pain medication. And, like, I get really, really bad cramps. Like, to the point of passing out cramps.
Wow.
And that's basically what happened during our day. So we cut it short. And, like, we were trying to get... But we had to, like, get to, like... We had to get back to TMU because... TRSM. Because I had to get my stuff. But I physically could not walk even a couple of meters. So I was literally lying on the ground. And then Hunter had to, like, use the washroom, like, really, really badly. Like, you know, like, you have, like, those, you just know it's coming. And, like, you can't. So, like, he's, like, running across the street to get to the nearest washroom in a hotel.
Was that a number one or a number two?
Number two.
Ooh. Also, for context, Hunter is, for people listening, he's your boyfriend.
Yes, he is. And he's amazing.
He's a lovely man.
He is a lovely man indeed. So, like, yeah, like, he had to literally take, like, the fattest dump ever. Like, it was just we had Italian food, so it makes sense. Okay. He had pasta and he had pizza.
Ooh, that's heavy.
Yeah, so it was coming and, like, he was like, I'm so sorry, I have to leave you. And he just runs across. For out of context, by the way, this sounds like a really bad breakup. But, like, like, he runs across the street to go to, like, the Omni King Edwards Hotel, which is it just has, like a washroom lobby, I think. It was either that or another hotel, but I'm pretty sure it was Omni King Edwards because we were on King Street.
Okay.
And, like, I'm just lying there, like, on the ground, like, in pain. Like, literally in pain. And I was like, this is disgusting. I feel so dirty. And it was cold. And I was like, well, this is it. This is, like, my new rock bottom. And I've never empathized more. Because, like, people just, like, I feel like people thought I was homeless. Like, I'm pretty sure people thought I was homeless, right? And, like, I've never empathized more. And, like, people are just avoiding me and walking around me. And I've never empathized more with that. And especially given, like, how cold it is and stuff. And, like, also, like, carrying a backpack on my back is one thing, but, like, can you imagine having to carry all of your essentials in another thing?
Like, your whole life, basically.
Yeah, basically your whole life, and needing to find a space for that, and, like, getting dirty and stuff, and not having people, like, you can ignore them, that's fine, and I completely understand that. It's an awkward situation. Sometimes you can feel uncomfortable with it, but I also see the other point of view where it's, like, you're ignored by everyone, including social services and housing services, and that, I think, has made me a lot more grateful. Like, seeing that level of difference between what my living standards are and someone else's living standards, yeah, I think has really made me appreciate what I have a mm-hmm. lot more. Because you don't really see that in Brampton. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you do, but not very often.
Yeah. Same here in Vaughan. You really don't see that ever. Maybe if you go to certain areas, but, like, for me, you really don't see that here. And it's like, going to downtown is a bit of a shock. And it's kind of crazy when I see, you know, these homeless people, and it's like, I feel like people see them as, like, less than human.
Yeah.
And it's just like, they're just there. It's like, they're just scum. They're just taking up space, avoiding them. Yeah. Like, and I mean, I also don't really, like, look at them, but it's hard to look at them. I just feel so, it's hard to see a person in that position.
Yeah, it definitely is. And, like, I also see, like, why people would, like, I know, like, it's a difficult problem, because you need, like, short-term, I feel like, this is another thing I think that a lot of people have issue with is, like, for example, like, the campus security thing, and how people don't want campus security because of the fact that, like, it, like, you know, like, police have been, have discriminated and targeted certain minority groups and stuff, and mm-hmm. I get that perspective, but I'm an advocate for campus security, mainly because I think you need, like, you need a combination of, like, I think short-term and long-term, solutions in order to mm-hmm. fix the problem fully, right? Like, short term, like, you find ways to get homeless people into housing solutions and everything. Long term, you sort of fix the ongoing epidemics that we have with mental health crises, mm-hmm. Drugs, and alcoholism especially. So, like, long term effects as well as short term ones, or solutions, I should say.
Yeah.
So, like, it's a difficult thing to think about. I have no answer, like, no clear answer is possible. Right. And I think that's what makes it so difficult to sort of help people out, especially when they're at the level of that much need.
Yeah. It's mm-hmm. it's a hard thing. And it's like, even when there's solutions in place, like the safe injection site that's right by the Vic building mm-hmm. downtown. And I mean, people still have problems with it, and I get it's obviously not an ideal place. And I don't know what came first, whether it was the
it was like, if you look at it, it's the Vic building. TMU was built in tandem with all those City of Toronto buildings built, because it's a City of Toronto building, right?
Yeah. So it came first. TMU came first.
It came first. So, like, when people are like, oh, like, they should just get rid of it, like, I see why they would want to get rid of it, but we can't. It's like,
the injection site came first.
Yeah, the injection site came
right.
first.
Right. That's what I thought. Yeah. And it's like, you can't move it. It's like, oh, just move it somewhere else. But then it's just going to be the same issue somewhere else.
Also, and and when people are like, oh, like, move it, like, into a different area of Toronto, most of the people who need it are right there in the heart of downtown. So, like, having, it's an inconvenient spot for students, though. I can agree with that.
Yeah.
Like, especially given that it's right next to campus, like, right there. Like, my only grievance with it is that it's just right there. If it was maybe a little bit farther from campus, like, maybe one street down, I think that would have probably saved everyone a lot of, like, issues with it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's unfortunate, but then again, it was there first, so, like, I'm not going to be like, yo, get rid of it.
Yeah, I know, yeah. It's funny, it's a thing that I heard, it's the not in my backyard syndrome. Everybody wants solutions, everybody wants to do something, but not in their space.
It's my issue, yeah.
Yeah. So that's the tough thing, and I mean,
and, like, you can't, like, even fault, like, I mean, you can fault technically, but, like, you can also sympathize with people who are, like, not in my backyard people, right? Like, I think both of us are also, to a certain extent, those people too, mm-hmm. right? Because you want to protect your, and it's preservation, self-preservation, right? Is, like, protecting mm-hmm. your own sense of self and your safety, especially when it comes to commuting and school campus. Like, currently York is going through a lot of issues too. Like,
did you actually hear
that there was a shooting at what? York University, like, someone like a gunman shot at, like, a residence's door. I mean, sorry,
what?
Window. Yeah.
Oh my God. And,
yeah, and like they've had like a bunch of armed robberies on campus and stuff. So like, in general, like yeah, like Toronto is pretty unsafe. Definitely, if you combine, like if you look at it by statistics, it's probably the same as every major city. But like, mm-hmm. at the same time, like knowing it's in your own backyard per se.
Yeah.
Into a very different perspective.
I think what's crazy too is that Toronto was ranked one of the safest cities in the world.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, I mean, yeah, I don't know. Like, it's so subjective because for me, like, I have a lot of anxiety about being in new places and like the nighttime and everything. So being downtown, especially for my first few months or a few weeks on campus, 5 days a week, it was so stressful.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely.
But then I kind of get used to it a little more, and then I realized that, well, I was...
Oh, sorry. There goes the mic.
There goes the mic. Hope that wasn't too loud. But I would always catastrophize, like, to go to the worst possible situation when I was walking. Uh-huh. So, like, if I'm walking a homeless guy, if I walk by a homeless guy, he's going to get up and he's going to jump me and he's going to rob me.
And no, then the I more... completely get that. I had the same sort of, like, I used to think that, too. And, to a certain extent, I still do to this day, right? Like, there's... Mm-hmm. I've gotten more used to it, but it doesn't change the mindset that I have sometimes in terms of like this is a potential dangerous situation for me. And it's like a little bit of bias, but also there's truth to that bias too.
I try to stay like aware and keep an eye open, which is also a reason why I don't love living in Toronto or being in Toronto so often.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would get super nervous, and like the more I realize it is that these homeless people that I'm so scared of, many of them, I won't say all of them, but many of them don't care. It's like if you don't provoke them, if you don't do anything, they're not really gonna go out of their way to mess with you or do something to you.
Yeah, like when you said like you thought like when you said this when you said that there was a statistic or like a news article or some headline that mentioned that Toronto was one of the more safer cities in comparison. Like although like for us it probably doesn't seem like relatively quote unquote safe, like it is in comparison. And the only reason I say that is because And aside from statistics, which I can completely understand, but like in personal experience, I would have never agreed with it until I went to New Orleans. And when I went to New Orleans, like the first thing that happened is I got catcalled twice, right? First time, like a dude like tried to grab my arm and tell me to go inside with him, like in front of a pizza joint. And then secondly, I was catcalled when like a truck was like blazing by. So like, yeah, like I get it. Like in comparison, there's a lot of places that are. And, like, New Orleans is a great place, don't get me wrong, but, like, I didn't feel safe in New Orleans, alone at least. There was times where I felt like I was fine, but, like, I was pretty aware and alert of everything after the fact.
Yeah.
And, like, in comparison, in Toronto, people aren't as forward, relatively speaking. So I think that kind of, like, I think it's a cultural thing at the end of the day. Like, I really don't think Toronto is relatively a safe place for people, but... It's definitely not the worst experience that I've had. I mean, like, the people who are aggressive and forward and put you in direct danger are few and far between, at least in my experience.
Mm-hmm.
But in New Orleans, that was, like, pretty much a daily thing. I was only there for 5 days.
Wow. Yeah. I'm really sorry that you had to experience that. That's...
It's okay. I mean, it's not okay, but, like,
it happens. And it sucks that it's so common. I mean, it hasn't happened to me. Obviously, it's not, like, my experiences, but I hear about it from everyone, like you.
Yeah.
A lot of my friends... And it's like, it's awful that it's like normalized.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yep, that's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not even, and like, definitely, I think that, you know, like there's targets towards like certain groups too, but even like, you know, like I know that like, there's a lot of guys who also just don't feel safe in Toronto too. Right. Mm-hmm. That's so valid. Right. Like you don't have to just be of a certain ethnic group or a certain like sex to feel unsafe in a city. And I think that Toronto especially exemplifies that. With given that there's so much just stuff going on in it, and I think like Toronto has also been, I think like I don't know, it just exhausts me. Like Toronto exhausts me.
Yeah, same here. It's such
I'm so tired of it.
No, there's so much. We're Toronto slander.
I was thinking like we're just literally this entire episode is us just hating Toronto.
it's so loud. Like I think just like New York, which I think is an even louder city. Mm-hmm. It's for a certain type of person. Like, it's not for everybody. And, I mean, I couldn't imagine living in Toronto, let alone New York. But it's just like the moment you step out of Union Station, or that's like how I do it, how I commute, immediately it's just billboard, advertisement, construction, cars honking, people yelling, Yeah, it's just
money to get there and to build. Like, breathing in Toronto just basically takes my money.
Yeah.
And I think the beauty of the city is when it's enjoyed, like, without it becoming your entire life, I think, right? Like,
yeah.
When you travel there for fun, I feel like every major city is just best enjoyed as, like, a tourist spot slash, like, you know, a place to be for a certain short time, but not the, like, not forever, right? Like, and I think that's kind of, and I think the best time to be in Toronto is actually as a student, even though, like, we're complaining about it as students, but
yeah.
The best time to be is to be in Toronto probably as a student, because, like, you're probably the target demographic that Toronto has, right? Like,
people
that want to go out every single day, or most days at least, partying, clubbing, drinking, going and trying new restaurants, going to school events, you know, spending their money at restaurants and at malls and stuff. Like, I mean, like, it's a very entertainment heavy scene. And I think for students, when you need to explore and you're in your 20s, and that's kind of like how you learn more about life. That's a good way to, like, Toronto is a good place for it. But as I get older, I really can't see myself ever living in Toronto.
Yeah. So when you say Toronto, do you mean just, like, the downtown core? Because I think that when you're in, like, the central area with Union and, like, where the schools are, I totally get that.
Yeah. I feel like, I mean, like, in general, like, the downtown core, like Toronto from, like, Union to,
whatever UFT
Union
is.
Union to college.
Yeah.
Union to college is, like, I would say, like, the place to be.
Yeah.
Maybe not the place to live, but, like, the place to be.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you're, like, a student, because there's just so many things to do along that.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it makes it fun and exciting and novel. But as you get older, I think living out in the Toronto suburbs, like, North York area, is more preferable, like, because, or even just, like, out of in the GTA region, if you can afford it. Like, it's just a nice area to be in. And at that age, even now, I'm speaking from personal opinion, I'm okay with being in outside of that city life, but I think for someone who's at the city, who likes the city, like, as you get older, you kind of want to enjoy the peace and quiet a little bit more, and also not be so tired, because I've definitely noticed it. I get tired so much more quickly now.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
Same. I feel like Toronto, honestly, it's so, I don't like it. It's just, I always feel like I have to keep one eye open, and I always have to be alert and know what's happening.
Yeah, and you want to have your guard down a little bit, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, and I that's what I think a good living area is. Like, you can be open.
For sure. So, you know, speaking of Toronto, I want to ask you about your weekend, which we talked about a little bit at the beginning. But how was, well, actually, first, can you tell everyone what event you were at? What you were doing, because I want to hear about
you and your acronyms. You probably forgot the acronym, didn't you?
TRMC.
Okay, fuck, you didn't forget the acronym. Hunter always gets it wrong. He always messes up TRSS, TRSM, and TRMC. Like, he's always said, like, oh, you go to TRMC. No, I go to TRSS, you fool. I mean, TRSM. Even so TRMC is a conference, full name, Ted Rogers Management Conference. I've been on the team for 2 years now. I first started out in 2020 as a delegate, and then in 2021 and 2022, sorry, no, 2021, I was a delegate. 2022 and 2023, I was a case competition associate. The Ted Rogers Management Conference is a legacy conference held in the namesake of, well, can you guess, Ted Rogers?
Whoa. You have this memorized.
Yeah. And essentially, it's like a huge conference that celebrates the achievement of all leaders across different industries, but also that of student leaders. And we host a lot of events. We host amazing series of speakers. We have, like, a couple of key events that everyone knows of, like the Toronto Met Business Forum, our corporate roundtable, which is probably my favorite event out of the entire thing, which I didn't expect. We also have social events like Multicultural Night, which I really, really did love.
I saw your story for that. That was really cool to see.
Oh, yeah. Multicultural Night was so good. Actually, I think Multi might have been my favorite night. Mainly because the energy is, like, very, like, it's very positive, right? Everyone likes to represent their culture and see other cultures come to light. And I think letting down your hair after, like, a very formal business day, it's just so nice. It's just so nice.
Yeah.
It's like coming home and taking off, like, your blazer and, like, dressing into, like, sweats.
I like that.
Yeah. So, like, that was my weekend that I was at. It was very, very fun. I have a lot of thanks to give to people that we worked with because they're the ones who made conference so great. And like, yeah, it's like very stressful as well to plan a conference. No doubt about that. But at the same time, it teaches you a lot about events and like management and also how to manage work with your friends. And how to manage those dynamics of when it's stressful, like how do you communicate with people? When someone doesn't know something, how do you communicate with them? I think those are also important things that you don't really get to see come to light until you're put into a hot button situation like we were at conference at times.
Yeah.
And I really do appreciate the people that I made friends with. Like before, like the actual conference itself, for the record, like we planned the conference starting from summer all the way till March. I would say like I wasn't as close with some people on the team or talked to them really until after conference. So like literally 2 days changed whether or not I became friends with someone. So it's a big, big conference and I have a lot of love for it. And although it is a lot of work, it's work that I think deserves the amount of attention and love it gets.
Yeah, I really wish I went. I saw all the stories and I had some serious FOMO.
As you should, because you know what? You can come next year though.
I want to come.
That's a good thing. Go next year.
Listen,
go next year. You know, I would love to see you come. And besides, TRSM has great funding committees.
I've seen.
Really, I mean, like honestly, like we're so lucky we go to TRSM. Like in comparison to some of the other business schools, I feel like our school gives so many supports and resources to sort of succeed without it becoming competitive.
Yeah.
I mean, there's an element of competitiveness sometimes, but it's very diminished, I would say, compared to other unis.
Yeah. No, that's really cool. I wanted to go so bad, and I forgot to apply to it.
You always do this. It's like you forget to wake up on time for an event. You forget to comply to something. You forget to do your course intentions.
No, I forgot how to do my course intentions.
Oh, yeah, you forgot how to do them.
Have you done them? Yeah, right away.
Are you taking sports marketing? I mean, sorry, effective persuasion in the winter?
In the fall.
No, change it.
Wait, no. In the fall, yeah. That's my co-op change term. What do you mean change it?
Oh, you're doing your co-op term in the winter?
Yeah, my terms are winter, summer, winter, summer.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then I'll change. I'll change it. I can do effective persuasion in the fall.
Yeah!
I hope it's a good course. I need to fill up my course intentions.
Yeah, do it. If you do in the fall, we can collaborate.
I guess eventually I can get my marketing minor if I really cared enough for it, but I don't need to. And if I take enough courses, I don't mind saying that I technically am a marketing minor. Mm-hmm. Like if I take the 6 courses, even if I don't do the 1 required course that I need, like they're gonna obviously not put it on my degree, but like at the end of the day, I know I got a marketing minor, and that's enough important enough for me.
Yeah, that's good.
I have never shown my degree to an employer.
Same.
So technically, like, couldn't you just lie? Like, technically, you could just lie for anything, you know?
Like, yeah, I think the hard thing is when they ask for your transcript.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you're right. Never mind. Never mind. I was going to say, like, technically, and like, I think about this so often. I could technically say I have a history degree and, like, apply to a museum. What's stopping me? And then I forget that you need to show your transcript sometimes.
I think the history degree is stopping you.
Stop. History major slander. I love to see it. What's like, okay. All degrees have use because there's transferable skills that you can gain out of it. With that being said, what degree is one that you would never go for?
One degree I would never go for?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's cool that you say that every degree has value because I think it's so true. I would probably not go for a music degree, but that's not because I think has no value, because before when I was a kid and I really had no like perception or understanding of anything, I'm like, yeah, music, like the best degrees are like business, math, STEM, comp sci. But it's like all those arts, like dance, history, music, whatever else there is, art. It's like, it's like they still have so much value because that's what develops our culture. As a society.
You know? I really think it's so... One of the things that I don't like about American/Canadian culture and North American culture in general, I guess, is the overall term for it.
Mm-hmm.
I hate how little emphasis we have on the arts and the social sciences. I think it's a big detriment to our culture because I mean, you can say we have culture, but really, what culture do we have? Like, food is one thing. We have food culture. I mean, like, of course we have culture. Like, it would be egregious of me to say that we have no culture at all. But in comparison to, like, Asian and European and Latin American, I guess, or South American culture, in terms of, like, the poetry, the readings, the writings, music and stuff, like, I feel like ours is, for the most part, pretty diminished. Because we don't place a really big emphasis on it. And I think that's, I don't think it's a good thing. Like, I mean, the pandemic definitely highlighted that we need entertainment. Yeah. And that we need to be treating our artists with the same amount of respect that we do to our doctors and healthcare professionals. I'm not saying that it has to be of economic value, of equal value, but of equal economic value, sorry. But I do think we need to pay the same attention to them.
Yeah, I know, 100%. It's like it's like the thing, it's like you never really realize how much you needed something or how much you love something until it's gone.
Yeah, definitely. You never really, over the course of the pandemic, like, everyone's interest in the arts and, like, all those things sort of skyrocketed. And now that we're coming out of the pandemic, or came out of it, per se, I feel like that's kind of lost its emphasis again, which is unfortunate because art is so important. And I think it's also a testament to the type of culture that we have in Canada and in different parts of the world. Like, art is a symbol.
Symbolic?
Symbol. Art is a symbol of, like, you know, who we are as people and the values that we have.
Yeah.
But also the struggles that we go through and face. And it's kind of like a documentation of our lives. So, like, losing that part of our creativity, I think, is a sad reality that we're going to have to face because so many jobs now are focused on the stems and the finances and, you know, all those places where numbers are important and definitely are. But I do think that we are sorely lacking in the culture department. And that's where humanities can come and save us, you know?
Yeah. I will say, this is my own personal experiences, so I don't know if anyone shares it or if you can relate to it, but I will share it nonetheless. I feel like the lack of emphasis on the arts and art and music and literature and all these, like, things that take time to enjoy, and you have to be mindful when you enjoy it and to appreciate it. I feel like it's social media and things like TikTok and technology as a whole has been the biggest detriment, because for me, I know that TikTok has completely messed up the way my mind works, where I just need dopamine right away, so I scroll endlessly. And if something's not interesting in a few seconds, I just scroll to the next thing.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you're right.
And, like, so...
Yeah.
And then even with music now, it's like, I feel like North America, I don't know for a fact, but I'm guessing one of the most popular genres would be, like, hip-hop, rap. Mm-hmm. And that is so easily manufactured because it's all just digitized and it's the same beats and the same rhythms. And it's like, if something's just not fast and doesn't get your attention right away, you're going to look for something else that can do that for you. And so... I feel like that's why, like, art or literature or even, like, those things aren't appreciated as much because it's not fast-paced or enjoyable or, like, giving you that sense of dopamine right away.
Yeah, like, I refuse to use TikTok, for the record, mainly because it takes way too fucking long to create my For You page. Instagram does the same thing. Yeah, sure, I'm getting the reels, like, I mean, the TikTok reels, like, 2 weeks later. Mm-hmm. I don't care. It's still there. It's still content that I like.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I literally just scroll and like. I don't even, like, look at what I... You know, like, how girls are like, oh, like, how can a guy like a picture of, like, another girl and, like, not feel anything? Or, like, you know, like, you know, like, those kind of conversations. Sometimes I'm inclined to believe the guy because I literally just sometimes like things without even looking at what it is.
Yeah.
I just literally do that. Not saying that I'd be okay with it if someone ever did that to me, but I literally can kind of understand the reflexive habit of just liking and scrolling, right? And I think also, like, I can, the noticeable reduction in screen, like, in, like, retention is very apparent to me now because I can't read books anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how, like, if you've tried, like, sitting down with a physical book in a while and, like, reading through it, but, like, my eyes get so tired and it's almost impossible to be able to finish a thing.
I read on my iPad, I'll be honest.
Oh, my God.
I'm an iPad kid.
iPad kid? You were such an iPad kid as a kid. I know it.
No, come on.
What? Oh, yeah, no, you were a skateboard kid.
I was a skateboard.
I still think that's the funniest story ever. Like, that's literally your origin story.
Well, I guess I'll provide context to the story. Mm-hmm. When for everyone that's listening, and I think it's a great story. When I was a kid, I was 7 years old. I was a skateboarder. Well, I skateboarded. I was on a skateboarder, and I tried to get sponsored. And I was literally emailing, and I know you've heard the story of mine, but it's so awesome because I was literally emailing skate parks in the most broken 7-year-old English, and like all caps, can you sponsor me, please? And then this one park, I'm not going to say because I'm not trying to name anything, but I emailed them, and the guy who owns it, he's like, hey, how old are you, David? I'm like, I'm 7 years old. He's like, well, we're having a competition next weekend. You should tell your dad to come. And a slice of pizza and a pop is on me. I'm like, wow, sweet. So gracious. I went there. I was so bad. I was the worst skater there. And
that's so funny.
And so then randomly, and I remember I would send him like videos of me skateboarding in my driveway with the, I guess the address was visible. I don't even remember, but it was just super, like it was really like, I guess private. I don't know why a 7-year-old would want to send that. And then I get an email a week after that from this random guy, Sifu. And he's like, hey, I miss you. Come see me.
I miss you? He says, I miss you?
Or didn't he? Isn't that what he said?
I don't remember. This is your story, dude.
Right, I know.
I'm not here. I don't remember the I miss you part of it, which is giving major pedo vibes.
Maybe not I miss you, but he said, hey, come see me. Or something like that, where he was like trying to get me to see him.
Yeah, come back to like sort of go to the skate park with him.
But the thing is that Sifu guy, it was a completely different guy. Mm-hmm. Different email from the owner I emailed originally. And so I met him at a skate park in Markham, and I asked my dad to wait in the car. And he did. So I was just skating with this guy. There were other skateboarders there, thankfully, but I was just this kid meeting this guy for the first time. And yeah, he was like, oh, let me see you skate for a minute. So I would go up and down all the ramps. I would jump, spin, whatever. And at the end of it, he's like, well, you're hired. You're sponsored, man. And he gave me this this rinky dinky envelope with used like wheel bearings that are so oily and greasy. And he gave me used wheels. And he's like, you're hired.
This is for you, man.
Yeah, I got this for you, man. This is all for you.
Like, I like sweet. How, like, you were so easily bought back then, because pizza, a slice, first of all, not even a whole pizza, a slice of pizza, pop, and a bunch of oily, greasy wheel things.
I'm so thankful that nothing bad happened to me, because, oh my god, that was because so... Because
instead of having a comedy / talk show host, we'd have instead heard about you on a true crime case.
On a true crime podcast.
Yeah, exactly, dude.
That's actually
insane to me. And the funniest thing about this to me is the fact that little 7-year-old David knew what sponsorships were. You said director of corporate relations from an early age.
Girl, I did not know what a sponsor... I had, honestly, all I thought a sponsor
was when you were a little kid.
Oh, excuse me, I'm like burping so much. Oh my god.
Okay, no worries. I don't mind.
I thought a sponsorship was just like you get free skateboards, free wheels, and you get paid. And then as the years went on, I would see these videos of these professional sponsored skateboarders trying to jump down like 25 staircases and breaking their ankles, you know, like, and I'm like, I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Cause you have to do all the things. You have to do all the things that other people wouldn't want to do. Cause that's why they're paying you, these companies. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy I shied away from that.
I'm also happy you didn't get literally like
snatched,
murdered.
Yeah,
and like trafficked.
Yeah.
Also, your poor fucking dad. God bless him. Can you imagine? He takes you to the skateboard and something. I mean, to the skate park and something happens to you.
I know. It's. I think about it. I think about it like once every year. And like, I literally this. I first saw the email after 8 years, because I was cleaning out my inbox.
Ooh, yeah.
I want to ask you how you organize your inbox. Super random, but at work. But so I was cleaning out my personal inbox and I was archiving everything, and I got down to the early 2000s or mid 2000s. I see the email, and that's when all the memories came flushing back.
All the memories of almost getting kidnapped by a weird old man who was like, David, I want to see you skate.
Exactly.
Can you do a backflip for me? And then why don't you come over?
business right there. That's making business.
Right, you know what? If he wasn't a pedophile and he's just like a random guy trying to get sponsorships, I hope he's doing a lot better now in life.
I really hope he's not emailing 7-year-olds offering them used skateboard wheels.
You know what? That's so funny because Hunter's a skate boy too. So like in another world, this could have just been Hunter's life, where he's just like approached by weird skaters about it. He's like, he still skates. Like he skates pretty often. I don't know. I feel like I used to never like hear about skateboard boys, mm-hmm. and then like entering uni, you were a skateboard boy. Hunter's a skateboard boy. Like I don't know where all these skater boys came from.
It's a phase.
They were never in my life until university.
I remember skateboard boys or skateboarders were so infrequent and so few and far between in my neighborhood. I was always embarrassed to skate.
I would never
like go out for a ride. But now I do it all the time, but on my longboard, and I'm like, I don't give a shit. Yeah. I'm vibing.
As you should, honestly. Yeah, I mean, okay, you asked me how I organize my inbox.
Yeah, because my mom, she showed me how she organizes hers, and she has like colleagues and then subfolders with every single colleague she's ever emailed with their respective emails in them. And I started doing that, and it was amazing. But my inbox has gone to shit now. It's so disorganized. I haven't been organizing the actual threads.
Okay. So like if you're talking work inbox, like the one on Microsoft Teams, because my stupid freaking company that likes using Outlook and Microsoft. Also, for the record, like if you're a company out, if you're a young entrepreneur and you're thinking of starting a company and you're thinking of what the best platform to use is, please, for the life of me, do not use Microsoft Teams.
You don't like Teams? Because
every employee will hate you.
Why? You don't like Teams?
I hate Teams. I hate Outlook. It's awful. It's the worst email like schedule. It's the worst email platform ever, or whatever it is, the worst email software ever. I hate Outlook so much. I don't know who owns Outlook or what
Microsoft.
Who owns Microsoft now? It's not Bill Gates. He retired.
No, now it's just there's a CEO, but I think it's just a corporation now.
I know, but who owns the corporation? Okay, let's do some research.
I don't think I really do some research. I don't think it's Bill Gates. My man, I know he sold off a good chunk of his shares. Or I don't know what he did.
Guy named Satya Nadella. Oh my god.
Yeah, sounds about right. Not really.
He kinda looks like a Pringle.
A Pringle. Well, that's your Microsoft sponsorship or internship gone.
Oh, it wasn't happening anyways. I applied to Microsoft when I was doing my first co-op term search. And I
Same.
Did you actually? Really?
Yeah, of course.
That makes me feel so much more better about myself and the fact that I didn't get it.
I applied everywhere, man. Co-op was a mission. But your inbox.
Okay, for my work one, there is no filing system. The only thing I do is if it's like, if I need to have it done by a certain date, I do like a action required and I put the date that it has to be due by.
Smart.
And then HR. That's the only other tab I have is HR. Okay. So like it's just easier access and stuff. Personal inbox where I have like all my schoolwork and stuff. Uh-huh. I organize it by like my team of ambassadors. So for reference, I run an ambassador team at the Business Career Hub, which is our university's career hub that helps all undergraduate students across TRSM. I have a folder for that, so it's easier for me to like see which emails I've sent out to them. Yeah. I have a folder for action required, so for any major tasks that require me to do any extra work on, action required is there, so I can see what I need to still do. Mm-hmm. I have one for co-op as well. So all applications where I hear back positively, whether it be an interview or otherwise, or negatively when it becomes a job rejection, I have one for each co-op semester.
Nice.
And then I have one last, and I have another folder or label for when I do secure a co-op, the place that it's at. Because the initial emails go through your TMU one. So I still, before like you get your work email, right? So I still filter those out by, like, for example, like all the emails that I got from Hershey or Liberty, I put like a label for them.
So you have your summer internship.
Sorry?
You have your summer internship with Hershey.
Yes, I am working in revenue management. So chocolate.
Slay.
Yeah, I love that. And then you're working with Molson Coors. And David is the only person that I've seen get a co-op term, like, pretty much like weeks after he got his summer turn.
That was insane.
Yeah, it was. The power of networking.
The power. Anyone who's listening, go network. And I say that as I don't go to a marketing networking event.
Yeah, but like you're tired and like it really is stressful and tiresome to go to events and come back and like I don't know, like it's not easy to, I don't know, maybe like the pandemic fundamentally shifted how I like view going outside, but like I get really exhausted just commuting in general, and I think that your time is more valuable than maybe forging potential connections. Like it's really about a balance in both, and I think need that time, you take that time.
Yeah, I really like that. You said that really beautifully. That's what I've been trying to do. Like I've I know you wanted to talk about this as well, or something we talked about talking about today is burnout and facing that. And I just, especially after last week, and I am so exhausted today. I'm so thankful it was a slow day because I could not have done a lot of work. And even tomorrow, just like the thought of going downtown, especially having to go at 3 p.m., stay downtown for 4 hours. And the event, it's not even at TRSM. I'd have to go 45 minutes away, stay there for 2 hours, and then go all the way back home. And it's like, oh my goodness. Like,
yeah. Yeah, like one of the major factors that affected me in terms of burnout was realizing I was spending too much time in different places that although they were serving me in a professional manner, for sure, like if you really wanted to think of it like that, like there's no negative side to doing things or lots of things. There's no negative side to doing things, there's negative sides to doing things, but there's also positive sides. And like there's no way to say that there's no positives. Like for example, going to a networking event has its positives, right?
Right.
But you also have to manage those with the negatives and realizing when the negatives outweigh the positives, and though there are positives, right? And this, like, that was one of the major factors attributing to my burnout. And like burnout is something I feel like people have a weird view of, not weird, but like have a misconception that burnout happens like once and then like you're back to normal. Or that you can go through burnout, but burnout looks like this. Like it goes down and then it goes up again and you're fine and then it goes down again. But like burnout can kind of look like burning out slowly at one period of time, straight up burnout for like maybe like 4 weeks, and then you just keep on being burnt out, but you're less burnt out. Like burnout for a lot of people is a constant stage rather than just like a time period in your life. And I think that's something that people don't really understand about themselves, is that you can be burnt out for like years.
Yeah.
That burnout is really difficult because when you're trying to get out of your burnout, you're also burning yourself out more because you're trying so hard to get out of it.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that a lot of people don't recognize, is that you need to really adequately manage that, because burnout is so difficult to get out of once you're in it. Because when you do have that free time, that spare time, you choose to do nothing with it because you don't want to be productive anymore because you're burned out. So you just don't do anything. And that's not healthy either, because you're not having a balance anymore.
Yeah.
Because then you're going from doing too much to doing nothing at all. So there's no in between. So managing burnout is really difficult for a lot of people. And for me, figuring out how to prioritize my time was the most important thing, even if it meant spending more money, even if it meant having lower marks, etc. I think that's something that a lot of people don't recognize.
Yeah, honestly, the hardest thing that I had to realize is that, and maybe for other people as well, it's like when you're burnt out, just like you said, you're continuing to spend energy trying to get out of it, and that's just depleting your energy even more. And life still goes on. Like nothing waits up for you, which I feel like can even add more to the pressure of trying to get out of it. Because you think, oh, I need to get out of this quick because whatever, these projects are still happening. I still have relationships to forge and to maintain, and friendships and family and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And
definitely.
I think the hardest thing, and I also want to hear how you manage burnout, or how you've been trying to, because for me, I've done a couple things. One, it's like I leave my weekends open. Obviously not these couple weekends upcoming because of dance, but typically I'll not make any plans, or I'll try not to. So I leave it open-ended so I can sleep in if I want. I can go to the gym if I feel like it, or do yoga, or just do nothing. And I try not to put too much pressure on myself, because I found before that I would feel really guilty if I did nothing, or quote unquote nothing, because I felt like relaxing was not productive.
Yeah.
And especially during the school year, like I think I told you about this, and I mean, we were friends while this happened. I would have my to-do list. I would finish everything for let's say today, Monday, and it's like 7 o'clock, it's a normal time, I can relax. But then I see that I have stuff to do on Tuesday. So I take that stuff from Tuesday and try and work on it. And then I end up working into, you know, like 1 a.m.
Oh, yeah. And then, like, here's the thing. Like, to be completely transparent, I am still burnt out. Mm-hmm. And I've been burnt out since second year.
Yeah.
I think second year is when I think that started because of the fact that we went in person and we were having things in person. So commuting time was taking out of it. And from there, it's just been a continuous spiral of being burnt out. Like, it was at my lowest, I think, in the second semester of first year. Second semester of second year. And it's gotten better ever since, but it definitely was bad at a certain point. And I'm still not fully up to where I could be because I'm burnt out, which is fair to say, right? Now, I think with burnout and, like, figuring out how to deal with burnout, for me, like, it's there's never going to be a good time for me not to be burnt out. And, like, you know how you said, like, oh, like, I'll just take things from Tuesday's tests and do them on Monday?
Yeah.
You'll never not be busy. Right? Yeah. Or there'll never be a right time. So you'll always just keep on adding tasks onto your day in order to get things done.
Yeah.
But then because you have free time to get things done, like you got things done yesterday, you have free time on Tuesday to get things done for Wednesday.
Exactly.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It keeps going on and on. So, like, you have to set boundaries with yourself. And that's kind of what I've done here and there. Granted, it's not always worked. And that's kind of part of, you know, figuring out how to heal and take care of yourself. But. Mm-hmm. For me, like, I definitely ended up focusing more on my social priorities, which helped me a lot because it made me feel like, one, I had life outside of work, and two, it gave me the opportunity and perspective to do other things that were fulfilling aside from work. I think also finding hobbies to indulge in is really important. Unfortunately, I haven't found a lot of hobbies that I indulge in and I like doing.
Yeah.
There's very few hobbies that I actually do. Like, reading is what I'm trying to get back into as much as possible. I watch a lot of anime.
Nice.
That's another thing that I do. God, I know. But yeah, like, you need to find those hobbies and you have to be able to dedicate yourself to stick through them, because I can be productive in work, but if you ask me to do basic, like, household things like cleaning and cooking, or, like, just, you know, cleaning out my room or things, like, I'll procrastinate it. And, like, I don't have the energy for those things because I spend so much of it on work.
Yeah.
And that burnout really becomes significant because you don't have to be just burnt out in work, but burnt out in regular hobbies and school and also in, like, your personal commitments, right? Like, you can be burnt out from chores. You can be burnt out from relationships. You can be burnt out from school and work, but all those things are still burnout. And I think you have to be able to manage all three of those things or four of those things or how many many of those things there are. And it's not easy for people. And that's why burnout can take years to get out of, because you might be burnt out in all those areas. And then you just fix one of those things, or you try to fix one of those things, but it doesn't take away from the other two. So you're still burnt out in two out of the three areas. So then you don't fix it, really, because you're not burnt out in one area. You're burnt out in all three.
Yeah. I think when you were, that's why in my experience, and I completely, you know, recognize that, with work is what I'm going to lead into. It's like, people can work long hours and work overtime, and that's a thing. But for me, I haven't had to do that because I'm an intern. But I've found, like, comparing, like, the corporate life to school and, like, the culture of working, work makes it so much easier to balance things out.
Okay.
Like, and that's how I found it. And again, that's just my own experience. But, like, with school, I feel like there's, like, this, like, hustle culture for students. And it's obviously, we all experience it, and it's kind of the way of life where you have to stay up late, you have to study, you have to finish assignments, essays, and things pile up very quickly. And that's just how school is. And I feel like school clubs, and this is no hate to any of them because I'm a part of one as well at TMU, but it's like, I feel like it's because we're students, sometimes it can be difficult to remember to set boundaries for work. Because with school, we're always working all the time, writing a report at 1 a.m., and that sometimes we carry that same practice with school clubs. Yeah, like, I know I have members on my team, like VPs, who will stay up doing tea work at like 11 p.m. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh my God. I mean, more power to you, but it's
but at the same... give some power to you.
Yeah, like at the same time, it's also like just a school club. Just like how school, like we're at university, that's our main priority, but it's also just a part of life. Like, it's not it shouldn't be something that affects our health, even though it does. You
know, yeah, like I completely get what you mean with the student life being like 24/7. Like there's no end to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I honestly found an equal amount of burnout when I was working. I feel less fulfilled working full time than I did as a student because I do my 9 to 5 and then I'm done. Technically, I could be doing more, but like, of course, like I don't want to work extra long hours and not be compensated for it.
Right.
Or have to be in a position where I have to work long hours in general, because I worked 80 hours in the summer, last summer, and it was terrible. Like my sleep was affected, my work performance was affected, all those things were affected. But yeah, like I don't want to have to do extra work, but at the same time, 9 to 5s don't fulfill me that much. So I ended up being, I think I'm currently burnt out in that sense, because I just do my work and then like from five to like, I don't know, like 1 a.m. I'm like, what do I do now? Like I don't want to go outside because I'm tired. The mental drain from working office.
Yeah. Oh my God. I know
like it's not physical labor, but like the mental drain that you feel once you finish your 5 p.m. work is so real and so exhausting that like, I just want to take a nap and then I want to wake up and watch a TV show and then I want to eat. And now it's like 10 p.m. Now what can I really do? Right. Like,
yeah,
it's hard to find a life outside of that 9 to 5. And I guess this is why so many people choose to be entrepreneurs instead. But for me, it's not, at least currently, I don't really see it being that part of my life, which is fine. But the point is, like, I find it really difficult to be fulfilled.
Yeah.
When I was a student, on the other hand, because it was my entire life, it was kind of enshrined into who I was. And I was fulfilled because I was seeing people all the time. And I think maybe it's a subset of the fact that I'm doing remote work, but I really don't feel much anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that's a burnout effect. And that sucks, definitely. But I hope that when I start working remotely, it'll change. Sorry, when I start working hybrid, it'll change. Because Hershey is hybrid.
Nice. Yeah, I totally get that too. And I feel like that's where, like you were talking about having hobbies or finding hobbies. That's what, I guess that's what the beauty of working a 9 to 5 is. Where it's like you have 5 to whenever you go to sleep to pursue your own hobbies. And I was thinking about like entrepreneurship too, especially when I was younger. Like, I want to be my own boss. I want to set my own hours. But it's like entrepreneurs work like 60, 70, 80 hours a week.
Yeah.
So it's like, are you really having more time?
And people say like, you know, like I used to work crazy hours and now I don't. But and so like they see the payoff now, but I really can't justify losing myself in my younger years to pay off for my older years when I know my younger years are the years where I have the energy to enjoy it as much as I can. And my older years are the ones where I want to be settled in. Also, my laptop's at 3%, so we're going to have to cut this very abruptly. But
yeah, no worries. Yeah, it's like I'm so curious of like the people who were able to make it in with their own businesses, how many relationships they had to sacrifice and what they had to give up in order to make time to work on their business.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I have a friend who's going through a breakup, and not to get into specifics, but it was about the conflict of work and school. The work and personal relationships. And for me, like, no matter how ambitious I am in life, and I am very ambitious as a career oriented person, but it will never come in the way of first my friendships and my relationships. And I think I don't want to ever have to sacrifice friendships and relationships for my work.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it's not what warms my bed. It's not what takes me out to dinner. And those aren't the things that define the love in my life. And the love in my life and being rich in my life comes from a place of being rich in friendships and relationships with people. And that's kind of how I want to see myself out when I eventually pass away, is being rich in all of those, you know, values, not being rich in work and commitment. Although I do want a fair bit of that too.
Right. Yeah. I almost lost a very important relationship because I was so like just went 150% into co-op. That was all I talked about all the time. It was my only focus. And this was during my search for a placement. Mm-hmm. And that was just terrifying. Where it's like this role, like the idea of getting this role completely took over my life. And it's like I never want to experience that again.
Yeah, and like because you know how like you can lose yourself in a relationship, like you become like a person with that, you know, like your partner and stuff, like you lose yourself in your own identity there. The same thing happens when it comes to work, right? You lose yourself in the job and the job becomes who you are. And while for some people that can be a good thing, or and there's benefits, sure, it's not who you are at the heart of it, because you're like, people are at the heart of who you are. You're the sum of the people around you and the experiences that you have, and those experiences are shaped by the people around you. And I think when it really comes down to it, at the end of the day, I think everyone should prioritize their friendships and their relationships over work. And that's something that I think burnout definitely can be minimized with. And mm-hmm. I think in general, I think the point of life is to enjoy it with the values that you have. And the values that guide me in my life are love, you know, respect, and in general, having fun. I don't know. There's probably more, but like, those are like the main ones that come to mind right now.
I love it.
So like, yeah, I don't really have much to think about other than that. And work would not come before anyone else in that respect. Yeah.
I love that. I love those batteries you have. I think that's amazing. I know your battery's low, so I think that's a wonderful place to end it off.
All right. Well, Mary, that's it. It's at 2%. So like, this is like amazing time to end it off.
Mary, thank you so much for finding the energy and the time to just talk. I really wanted to catch up for so long.
Oh my gosh, yeah. It's been so difficult, especially with co-op and stuff. Like, again, like, this is that drain that we're talking about, right? You don't want to do anything. You don't want to talk to anyone after. You're just going to like be in your own shell. And I'm glad that we had this conversation, because it's been a while.
Me too.
Since I did. Do it with you and do it with people in general.
Yeah, me too. I feel so bad. All my friends who are on campus right now, every day, I can't see them. I just can't.
I know. Commute. The drain, like, they're like, come down to campus. And I'm like, no, I'm tired.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. Okay.
Yes. To everyone listening, thank you so much for tuning in. Mayuri, do you have anything else you want to say before we end it off?
I love you all, and I hope you have a good day.
Amazing.
Even if I don't know you.
Bye, everybody.
All right. Bye, guys. Okay.